thank you for the opportunity to share your word. So I pray that today you will give your people a spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of you. I pray today their eyes will be open to the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit, to hear your voice with clarity, but not just hear, but then at hear. I mean, do what the word says, God. I pray right now, God, every hindering spirit is broken, and the Holy Spirit will have the preeminence to have his full rule and reign in the lives of your people, God. We thank you, we honor you, and we praise you now for what you're doing. We declare it done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So you probably just wondering, those three ladies that came up, the Bible does allow for three words to come forward, that I'll cut you off on that fourth one because I want to keep things done decently in order. Amen? I finally could talk about some of the events that's transpired. I'm going to go way back, though. I'm going to go back to my team, the Golden State Warriors. Sometimes God will give you insight to things, and you'll tell somebody else about it, and they won't believe you. So I asked some insight about a particular player for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and my friend said, he ain't like that. I said, okay. Now, I spent time with this guy, so I know him. I've been in his presence, so I know this guy very well. This happened on June 13th. I keep a log of what I say. So we know that time went on, and then on June 19th, unfortunately, our Golden State Warriors, they fail. So after the champions win, they have a parade, right? So June 22nd, this guy calls me up. I didn't answer the phone. The same guy told him about this character on the Cleveland Cavaliers team. Didn't talk to him. But then we had a celebration on July 4th. And he came up to me and said, you know what? What you said was true. Because I had some inside information. And God has given us some inside information. So things that are happening right now, I already knew about them. They're going to happen. And I hope you did too. I hope they didn't shake you up. And I hope they didn't surprise you. The title of my message is, If My People, dot, dot, dot. If my people, not the other people, but my people, God's people. June 1st, God said, Edward, you have to intensify your prayer life. Lord, I pray. Now, I'm an intercessor. I'll pray at a drop of a hat. But he said, I want you to intensify your prayer life. If you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I told that story about the Golden State Warriors for a reason. Jesus said, if I told you earthly things you don't believe, how can I tell you heavenly things you're going to believe? Then I pray that you guys will have spiritual insight to what God is doing. Because believe me, God is doing a lot. Did I tell you 1 Timothy chapter what? Something good there. Go to chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I said that God had told me about these things going to happen. And I hope he told you too. In verse 1, what does it say? It says, now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall do what? Depart from the faith. And this is the key right here. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If you go to your right to 2 Timothy chapter 3, he gives us another insight to what's going to transpire. So these things should not surprise us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, verse 1, this know also, that in the latter days, what? Perilous times shall come. Well, let me ask you a question. Are we in the latter times now? He said, this is the indication, you know, in the last time. In the last day, I'm pouring out my spirit. Do you have a spirit? We're in the last times. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh, my God, that's true. Ooh. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Then here's the key, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Denying the power. So for all that time, actually since the massacres in Orlando, unto present day massacres, God will not let me say a word about it. James 1:19 says, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. I outlined a bunch of things that in the latter times, what's going to happen. Do you think I got an answer for all those things? Better yet, do you have an answer for all those things? That's why God said, we got to pray. You got to get a word from God, y'all, on how to handle people. And really, it's not the people. It's the spirit inside the people. See, you got to keep in mind, think about your life and my life. How you were and how I was prior to Christ coming to our life. We was messed up, goofed up from the flow up. So what do you expect them people to do out there? See, when you don't allow God to be in your midst, chaos happens. Confusion takes place. That's what we have right there. But Jesus said something even when he was here. He told his disciples to do what? Watch and pray. He came back and they were what? They were asleep. And guess what now? The church is asleep. They're not praying like they should be praying. God wants us to pray. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And I want to walk you through how some of us pray. But God has a solution for how we should pray. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Is a word that theologians use called apologetics. That simply means defend your faith. You should be able to give an answer or why what you believe in. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, verse 15, and be ready sometimes, always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that's in you with what? Meekness and fear. That first word is very important, with meekness, because sometimes we forget where we came from. Now, it's important to give gifts out. Amen? But it depends on how you get a gift. I don't care if it's Victoria's Secrets or whoever it may be. If not given the right way. Pat Sajak had Vanna White, right? Well, I got Dorothy. Come on up here, Dorothy. Right there. Now, I know Dorothy personally, right? Been spending time with her. And I know some insight to her. I know she don't know Jesus. So I'm going to deliver her the message to God. Here you go. You want that? Why not? I gave you a good gift. Look at it. It's Victoria. You want Victoria? I didn't give it to you, right? Can we try it again? Okay, first I got to go back to the Father and say, Lord, forgive me. Because I got arrogance and cockiness in delivering a message to God, to the one he loves. You see, that world God loves. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It didn't say he just loved Edward. He loved the world. Let me try it again now. I repent and I'm coming back to you now. I thought about you. And I know you've been hurting for a while. So can I get this to you, please? Here you are. You're welcome. And enjoy. Now, watch this, though. Now, we know that Dorothy's married, right? Watch this. The thief comes to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. God gave a commission to Dorothy's husband. What did he say in Genesis? I want you to do what? I want you to guard and protect. I don't see your husband. What did I just do? I just divided the household. I just divided the home. Why? Because he's not guarding and protecting. Thank you, Dorothy. So you wonder why the world messed up? Because the church is not guarding and protecting. He said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and by no means they should hurt you. Why are we afraid of the devil? Jesus said, I beheld him fall like lightning from the sky. Then I give you the same power, this dunamis, to do what? Act in my stead. I need for you to do what I did. In John, he said, the works that I do, greater works you do, because I go back to the Father. But the church has been null and void doing God's greater works. And that great word is to pray and intercede for those that are lost. Pray and intercede for those that are lost. You see, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I want to give you plenty of word today. Then next week, we're going to make sure we implement God's word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. When you get there, say amen. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the what? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You are not even attacking that person. You are praying for that spirit in that person to deliver that person. Because they have no idea of what's happening. I'm going to prove it to you. There were 12 disciples. Amen? And one of them, it says that after supper had ended, Satan entered him. Then he betrayed Christ. Why? Because the spirits, we live in two worlds, saints. As a spirit world and as a physical world. And that spirit world is always active. Heaven never closes, by the way. Don't think God was waiting for us to get here to praise him. No. He never sleeps nor slumbers. It's our job to catch up with heaven. And that is why we got to pray to make sure we invoke the kingdom of God in the earth. And how do you do that? Through your prayer life. I want you to think about how often you pray and who you pray for. How often do you pray and who do you pray for? In Matthew 24:4, it says that do not be deceived. See, deception is running through the land. We had a men's fellowship yesterday and the latter part of the men's fellowship, young man played a video, and this stuff in this video was just the kookiest thing I've ever heard from a preacher. It was bizarre. And that's it. Satan is trying to deceive the church of Jesus Christ. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then what he's trying to do with the body of Christ is divide it. A divided house can't stand. If I can get Dorothy to believe what I'm believing, he has no chance. And that's what he comes in to do, to divide. Mother against daughter, father against son. He comes to kill, He comes to steal and he comes to destroy. But our job is to neutralize his work, to actually cut off his ties, to stop him in his tracks. There's this thing in the book of Acts called the seven sons of Sceva. And they tried to intercede for what was happening. And Satan himself said this: Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Well, he mentioned Paul because Paul has done havoc in the kingdom of darkness. Does Satan know who you are? Or better yet, is Satan afraid of you? Have you worked havoc in his kingdom? Or are you just an ordinary Christian, come to church, shout and dance, and go back home? Or are you really running havoc in his kingdom? See, keep in mind, God left you here for a reason. One reason only. To do what? Share his word. To share his good news to those who are lost. I don't think that the terrorist attack in America, it only happened. Terrorist attacks happen every day. We get shook up when they happen here. See, there's 196 countries in the world. Well, 195 because they don't count Taiwan. Seven continents. Some of those continents don't believe in God. So can you imagine the chaos on that continent and in those countries? Well, what happened in America? We believe in God, but yet we don't act like we know who God is. Book of Romans said there's going to be a time that God's going to say, you know what? I'm going to step back because I'm going to give you a mind of your own, reprobate, void of understanding who I am. But our job is to say, no, Lord, we need you. That is prayer. We're going to invoke God's power and presence back into this nation. Now, yeah, we can't override a human will, but we can't invoke God's power into a situation. And it comes through prayer. Not these little Mickey Mouse prayers we're doing anymore. Satan is for real, y'all. He ain't no joke. He comes in to annihilate people. He don't care if you're on his team or not on his team. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Even though they belong to him, he's still trying to kill, steal, and destroy them. That's his mission. You wonder why? We have a redemption song that the angels can't sing. Even the angel says, God, what is man that you always thinking about him? So therefore, we invoke jealousy to the enemy because we have the power and the presence of getting God. So when we start singing those praise songs, the angels in heaven, I'm going to tell you what they did. They had to get out of our way. They had to move out the way as we walk to the throne of God because we are the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you redeemed? Well, say so. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to know Satan does try to hinder us from accomplishing what God has in store for us. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3. Did I get the right one? Let me back up. Let me get ahead of myself. I'm sorry. I keep messing up, y'all. But something good in that chapter 2. We'll go to chapter 1. First Thessalonians, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 18. The most powerful man I've known in the Bible besides Jesus Christ was Daniel. Daniel always prayed. He prayed day and night. And when he prayed, things began to happen. He prayed one time. He said, Lord, I want these things to happen. And the Bible says the angel came immediately to give him his answer. But yet he was stopped 21 days. Now, most of us would have gave up after that time. But I'm going to show you right here. It says that in verse 18, It said, wherefore you would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan, he what? He hindered us. Satan can hinder your prayers from getting answered. Now, your job is to press in and don't give up. But you got to pray God's will into that situation. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he does what? He hears us. If he hears us, then we should have confidence that that prayer has been answered. No vacillating. One minute I believe God, next minute I don't believe God. That prayer will not be answered because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I always go to this one chapter. I'm going to go to it right now. Go to 1 Timothy, back to 1 Timothy. And I always ask this question to my fellow believers, who do you pray for? Well, I pray for my wife. I pray for my kids. I pray for my job. I pray for a better job. I pray for money, right? Those are the church's prayers. But God told us how to pray, and he told us why to pray this way. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, what? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be to what? Made for all men. Key verse right here. For kings. Now, we live in America, so we're not under a monarch system, we're in a democracy. You pray for the king, why? You keep reading, it says, for peace. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. See, we're not praying for our leaders, therefore, chaos is happening. Do we know who our leaders are? Now, besides President Barack Obama, who else is our leaders? Do we know them by name? Do we call them out? Vice President Biden, the GOP staff? Do we know who we're praying for? You can pray in such a way you can invoke and change laws, but you're not praying for our leaders correctly. Therefore, they are initiating laws that are dictating to you what you can do and cannot do. And Satan's very subtle in this thing. When I was a kid, I could pray in school. I can go to school and pray. But now you can't go to school and pray. Why? Because these leaders in place are activating laws to silence the believer. If he can silence you, he can run the nation. And that's his ultimate goal, to silence you to have control. But God says, saints, I want you to pray. I want you to pray like never before. Because your prayer can change and alter the course of this world. That's why God left us here, to intercede. Intercession is the greatest weapon you'll ever have and ever know. And people don't believe in the spirit world. I took a couple of folks with me to Haiti years ago. And this one person, I didn't want to go with her. I didn't want her to go with me. I mentioned no name, so you don't know who she is. But I didn't want her to go. Because when she prayed, her prayer was not in line with God's word. Now, I'm going to tell you now, when I pray with you, I'm listening to what you're saying. The most powerful prayer is a prayer of agreement. I'm not going to agree with you if you didn't agree with God's word. And what she was doing was not agreeing with God's word. And when that happens, chaos is going to happen. Especially when you go to a country that's already giving themselves to demons. She praying one way in line with demonic forces. So I had to send her down to pull to the side. Yeah, Ed will pull you to the side. I had to pull her to the side and straighten her out a little bit because you know what? This thing is real. We're not in America now. We on foreign soil. And these demons don't play. I'm talking about witchcraft and voodoo openly. See, God was getting me ready. I'm not afraid of that junk. In Jesus' name, you got to go. you know? Know who you are in Christ Jesus. And chaos did happen there, though. Because why? You cannot go on the enemy's territory and do what he's doing. If you guys stick to the book, you'll never lose. Now, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves because when I grew up, I didn't have a smartphone. We didn't even have smartphones. You can put the Bible on your smartphone now, and we got folks still don't read the word. They can put the Bible on the smartphone. See, say it is the word of God that will paralyze the forces of darkness. What did Jesus say? It is written. Then he told Satan what was written. That meant he knew what was written. So if you don't know what's written, how are you going to tell Satan anything? You're going to cower and run because you don't know what is written. And one thing I tell you that's written, you're victorious. You've already won. Once you understand this principle, I hope you never cower against the enemy. You're a citizen of heaven. Let me say it again to this crowd because y'all kind of quiet over there. I said you're a citizen of heaven. There we go. Amen. Therefore, we got dual citizenship. That means I can go to heaven, get my working orders, then come back to earth. And then occupy. I have dual citizenship. And dual citizenship gives you special privileges. That means over here, all my needs are met. I ain't got to worry about things. Then I come back over here to the earth realm. And I just walk, do my Father's will. Not worried about anything because why? I got orders from heaven to do things in the earth realm. Let me tell you about Satan. He always tried to get me off skew by trying to mess with my wife. I know who I am in Christ, and she knows who she is. So I got me an assignment to go to Haiti about 8 years ago. I was going regardless. So then the enemy comes in and attacks my wife. You don't attack my wife. You don't mess with my wife. But what he's trying to do is get me off course. One thing he didn't realize, though, that when we had a covenant, as I was going, she was going. And she knew the mission that I had to go do. She said, go. And God always told me this. And I'm telling you this, too. If you handle his business, he always handle your business. I went to Haiti. She's in the hospital having her. I said, you okay? She said, yeah, fine. Because why? If you handle God's business, he will always handle your business. Always. Always. And part of God's business is now intercession. God say, I pray that my will is done on earth as it is in heaven. This morning I checked, there's no chaos in heaven. Everything's in order. And the one who caused the chaos, he down here now. He messed up and that was it. Well, no second chances up there, buddy. He said, that's it. So when the enemy comes into your house, no chaos. You got to put him in place from right away. The moment he comes in, no, not here, buddy. You got to let him know there's a bloodline drawn right here. You can't cross over. You cannot enter in. That's why when we take communion, I'm always talking about the blood. I'm invoking the power of blood every time we take the cup of communion. When that death angel came in and saw the blood, they had to say, you know what? Wrong house. I got to go over here. Up, wrong house. I got to go over here. They saw the blood. The blood will never lose its power. But your words have to be activating the blood by speaking God's word. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. That's in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we're going to begin reading in verse 12. When you get there, say amen. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayers and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, then there be no rain, I'm in verse 13, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, key verse right here, if my people, the word is very, it says judgment, that means examine yourself, must first begin in God's house. So if my people were to call by my name, key verse here, shall do what? Humble themselves. It was amazing to me how many people knew what to do when that chaos happened. That's still happening right now. Let's march. No, let's do this. Let's do that. And what was the results? More chaos. But God said, if my people would humble themselves and pray. See, that's the key right there. Humble themselves and pray. We got to seek God's face. As you seek God's face, then you got to turn from your wicked ways. Turn. In that turning process, remember, God loves people. So when we're praying for those people. It's not God's will for anyone to perish, but that all may come to repentance. The thing about what we do, we think that that person's going to be saved, that person's not going to be saved. We don't know that. That's why it's so critical we share the gospel to all people and let them decide. So if we turn from our wicked ways, then what? Then we'll hear from heaven. See, then we can hear a solution to all this chaos and anarchy. But we got to pray. We got to seek God like never before in prayer. Then he said, we'll hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sins. And the what? Heal the land. Our land needs healing in it. People think that what happened out there is a race war. Let me give you, I'm going to say it one time only about this. There's only one race. It's the human race. Okay, I'm going to prove it to you. Watch this. You guys are smart, right? Got college grads in here, right? Okay. The Vietnam War. Who was the Vietnam fighting? All Vietnamese. Right? Why are they fighting against each other then? I'm waiting for your college grads to give me an answer. You see, it's a human issue. It's really a sin issue. They don't know how to operate the way God designed us to. So therefore, you're going to have conflict and you're going to have chaos. And that's what we have right now. Because men and women do not know how to interact with each other the way God designed us to. So again, we need to pray. What should we pray? Pray for our nation. Pray for our leadership. Now, keep in mind, I'm going to tell you right now, my brother Luan was an officer. And one day, I happened to ride along with him. One day I did it only. Wasn't going back either. All it took was one day for Ed. Now, we turned the corner. We just having a good old time, just talking and talking, right? We turned the corner, all of a sudden, now I'm like, oh no, I can't do this job. Because sometimes what's happening is like that in an instant. A tough job they have. I'm not making any excuses, but it's a tough job they have. So we should be praying now for what? Our law enforcement officials. You say, well, some of them are crooked. Nope. I said pray for them. Let me tell you something real quick about God. It says the king's heart is in my hand. I can turn it any way I want to. So if he's crooked, I'm praying for the whole department. And God begin to expose the crooked one. And God can do that, y'all. Now, go with me one place real quick. We have an election year, correct? Go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. This is amazing to me about how we do certain things, because the Bible is very clear. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. And we turn around and conform to this world. Now, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I don't care. American Independent, I don't care. All I do care about is you vote. Okay? Now, 2 Samuel chapter 23. God has a standard for leadership. President, legislative body, judicial system, whatever it is, God has a standard. Pastor, apostle, prophet, God has a standard. Now, he didn't want that to happen, but we want the leader over us. So since that happened, we got leadership over us now. Amen? All right. But he warned him and said, this is going to happen to you when you put a leader over you. We still want a president over us. Okay, no problem. I'll give you one. So God said, what my requirement is for a leader, chapter 23, verse 3. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, what? Ruling in the fear of God. That's our mandate for whoever we pray for and whoever we vote for. Must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Now, we put that standing up right there, we in trouble, huh? We in trouble, right? But again, we need wisdom to pray to find out which one was close to that standard. Because we only know one person can meet that standard. That's Jesus Christ. Hey, notice about the world affairs. Think about this real carefully. If you look at the world affairs, God has allowed almost every nationality to rule. We had the first shot in Egypt. And we messed up. Put people in slavery, right? We messed up. So everybody got an opportunity to rule and reign. You know why God did that? To let us know nobody's capable but me. I don't care who you put in office. You put LaJuan in office. At some point, something's going to happen. Put me in office. At some point, something's going to happen. Put Jesus in office, everything's going to be cool. And that's why we got to put him first and foremost. Seek the kingdom first. And all things will be added unto you. But you seek him through your prayer life, saints. You got to begin to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Well, how do you do that? Well, you can pray in the spirit and you can pray with the understanding. Now, don't always stay in the spirit, because you need to pray for this person who don't know Jesus Christ without understanding, so he can hear what you're saying to him. And the way you do that is by getting in God's word to find out God's will for that person. One thing I know about him, if he doesn't know Christ, God's will for that person is to be saved. God's will for that person is he loves him beyond comprehension. So I can pray that for him. But you got to get into the book or the smartphone. Get to something, somebody. Please. We have to make a difference in our world. Not in fear and timidity, but in power of the Holy Spirit. Go to Romans 6:28. Romans 6:28. And God gave me the scripture because I thought I knew how to pray. I thought I was a prayer warrior. I'm sorry, wrong verse. But I'll give you the scripture. It says. It says that we do not know how to pray as we ought to. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with what? Groanings that cannot be uttered. Well, when you go into God's presence and you don't know how to pray, ask God to show you how to pray. The Holy Spirit will give you insight to how to pray for other people and for our nation if we ask Him. God wants you to be a beacon and a ray of hope. God wants you to be able to speak into someone's life, their destiny. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person that you and I need to have intimacy with. Pastor Derry mentioned something yesterday, and I recall the events that happened. Back in the early 80s and late 90s, in the 90s, they had a prayer convention in San Francisco, California. And pastors would come in there and they would pray. Because keep in mind, in Frisco, all stuff happens in Frisco. But that same stuff happened in Frisco, it's happened in Vallejo, it's happened in Oakland, it's happened everywhere now. You know why? Because we didn't maintain the prayer. If you go to Matthew chapter 12, we're going to begin reading in verse 43 and 45. And it says, I'll tell you what it says real quickly. It says that when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man or woman, it walks through dry land looking for rest. And it can't find any place. So you know what he says? He says, I'll return to the house I came from. Because why? It was empty, swept, and garnished. Empty, swept, and garnished. When it should have been filled up with God's prayer life and God's word. Then he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take seven more demons, more powerful than myself, and they will overtake that person. So what happened back in the 80s and 90s, we had prayer, and it eradicated those cities from demonic activity. But then we stopped praying. And, of course, Satan never gives up. And he brought in seven more spirits more powerful than himself. And they came in, and now they're occupying. So now we're trying to pray them away. And they don't want to go. But guess what? They got to go. And we got to continue to pray. We got to pray like never before now, saints. When I was a little boy, I never forget this statement my dad made to me. When I grew up, and we grew up with older kids. So I was in sixth grade. I played with high school kids. It made me better in sports because they were my competition. But this one guy in high school, he hated me, I guess. And he would always bully me. The biggest mistake I ever made was I went home crying to my father. I said, Dad, and I'm crying now. He beat me up. I'll never forget what my dad said. He said, boy, if you come in here ever again crying to me, you're in trouble. The next game we had with the older kids, those words was ringing in my ear. So the guy tried to bully me again. And I got crazy. I got a baseball bat and chased him home. And he never messed with me again. You say, why you get that example? Because what we're doing in the church, Father, Satan is bothering me. And God is saying, I've given you the power. You take care of him yourself. We run into God, and God said, I already given you the power. I've given you everything you need in this life. We got to utilize every tool and every arsenal in our weaponry. And part of that is prayer. We got to intercede for this nation. We got to intercede not for this nation, but leaders in other nations too. Because the war is on, the battle in the heavenly realm. And we got to cut things off to get this gospel out. It's very easy now to go out and share the gospel. Right now it is. But if they change the laws, there's going to be some adversity in sharing this good news like God wants us to. So, saints, I want you guys to pray. I want you to pray God's word, not your emotions, but I want you to get in God's word and find out what he is saying. When you find out what he's saying, then declare what he's saying. And don't give up any territory. Amen? And we're going to practice right now, matter of fact. I want you guys to stand up. I believe that one person can chase 1,000. And two people can put 10,000 to flight. So enough people in here can cause, I think, almost 100,000, 5,000 demons to flee. Remember the story about Sodom and Gomorrah? It really is a story about intercession. Because Abraham said, if you can find 10 righteous souls, can you spare that whole city? That's intercession. I believe that if we intercede, God can spare this city and cities around here. If we intercede. I want you guys who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to pray in tongues. And for those who have not, I want you to pray according to God's will, based upon what I just told you, for our leadership. And I'm going to join you in prayer because I want to invoke the presence of God in our national affairs. So, Father, I thank you for this body of believers right now. We stand in full agreement with your word. Your word says, God, to lift up every leader, every political, social, economic leader, God. And right now, we lift up President Barack Obama, Vice President Biden, the GOP staff, congressmen and women, every senator, every legislator right now, every judge. I release the angels of God to go forth now and the Holy Spirit to convict, convert, transform, and change their lives. I pray a strong spirit of conviction be upon each one who violates the principles of your word. God, give us open doors to walk through to share the good news of Christ. Your people, us, we are seeking your face, God. Give us insight. Give us illumination, God, on how to establish your kingdom in the earth. I plead your blood over each life here today. And I take notice right now. I come against every principality and power, every ruler of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. I break every assignment over the people in this place right now. I stymie the works of darkness over their kids, their kids' kids. I speak liberty and freedom to each one here today. I oppose every force, every thought in their mind that's contrary to God's will. I pull it out. I paralyze it now in Jesus' name. I pull out every stronghold right now. I release the word of God right now. I command your word now to be active in their mind. I declare their feet, God, will be, every step they take will be ordered by you, Lord. I declare the peace of God to saturate their minds right now. Give them ears to hear your voice, eyes to see your plan.